Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we turn our attention to Red Green from Possum Lake, Ontario. He's the author, as I said, modestly titled book of How to Do Everything by the Man Who Should Know. And I've had a chance to read the book and laughed throughout it. It's published by Doubleday Canada Hardcover. And he is going to actually be bringing his Wit and Wisdom show to Madison on November 20th. I want to make mention of that before I forget it. He'll be performing at the Barrymore Theater at 8 p.m. on November 20th in Madison. He'll also appear and sign books at Barnes & Noble on Mineral Point Road from 2 to 4 p.m. that afternoon. And he'll also be appearing in La Crosse on November 21st. So the next day, he's got a book signing from 2 to 4 that afternoon and a show that evening at 7:30 at the Viterbo University Theater. So he's going to be in Wisconsin. And he's not now. Red, are you there? Hold on a second. Let me push the... Yeah, hi, how you doing?
If I was doing any better, I'd be twins. What does that tell you?
Well, I tell you what, I had a chance to read your book.
Oh, yeah.
And it was full of scientific information that made me laugh.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff's classified, Larry, so keep it to yourself.
Okay. Well, we had an email already. And by the way, if you want to join in, you got a question for Red Green, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And we had an email already from Lori of Saner, Wisconsin. And she says, I thought I'd email and tell Red about a use my hubby has for duct tape. He suffers from cracked heel, and to keep the heel moist, he used to... wrap a piece of plastic around the heel and then put on his socks. Or he could go out and buy those fancy expensive heel cups to keep the heel moist.
Yeah.
But he found that duct tape works the best. He forms a nice heel cup and then he puts it in his sock.
Oh,
I'm thinking of stuffing his Christmas sock with the cool patterns and colors they sell at the local hardware store.
Oh, boy. Well, there's a man who's easy to buy for, Larry.
Oh, boy. Well, now, tell for the listeners who don't know about the book, because it's, you know, it's just out, describe the book for us.
Well, it's if you only had one book, this is probably not it, but if you're going to have two books, this could be the other one. It gets into how to make things, how to fix things, how to renovate things, and more importantly, lots of advice on relationships, how to get along with your wife, how to avoid her when you're not, how to raise your kids, how to apologize to society when you blow that too. I mean, it's just got a little bit of everything in it and varying lengths of things. It's for all sizes of attention spans and will probably end up in the smallest room in your home.
Well, I particularly like the relationship.
A lot of relationship stuff there. I think one of the things very early on in the book is the seven stages of marriage, Larry, which really gets you through the grief period. And I when people ask me about that, I say, well, what stage do you feel your marriage is in? And most of them that I find are in denial. It's a long way to acceptance from denial.
But I tell you what, when you get to acceptance, it's pretty darn good.
Yeah, things go well. It's almost like lowering your expectations. That's the key to a happy life.
Well, I tell you what, Bob in Jackson has a question for you a comment. So let's go to Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good afternoon or good morning. Hello, Red Green.
How are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing very well. Honored to talk to you, sir. Again, spoke to you once a number of years ago. You embarrassed me by making me recite the man prayer on the radio. But anyway,
you embarrassed yourself by knowing it, Bob.
Good one. So I would ask you at that time how many takes you do on the TV program when you put something together with duct tape. And you had said you do one take, and if it works, it works, and on the show it goes. And I'm wondering if you're still doing that.
Well, actually, Bob, to be honest with you, we stopped doing the show about 5 years ago. We did 300 episodes, and a couple of them weren't bad. But I'm still
glad then that Wisconsin Public Television is playing your reruns because I'm watching them.
Okay, well, it's actually on the other channel, but that's good enough. As long as you're watching them, there's 300 episodes. I mean, most of my fans can't even remember 2 or 3 weeks away, so it's all new to them. And we could never afford to take two, Bob. That was the thing. I mean, we spent all our money on take one, so if it broke, we just said that we're supposed to do that. We just changed how we described it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can count me in that group of people that can't remember a show from back when and still laugh at it when they see it the second time.
Oh, that's great, Bob. Yeah, it was a great lot of fun. The longest running live action comedy show is Saturday Night Live, and number two is the Red Green Show, and it seems only right that Red Green would be number two.
I certainly agree. Well, nice to talk with you.
Yeah.
You too, Bob.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Carol emailed in and said she became a Red Green fan when she saw you put turn a toaster into a CD. Now, do you remember doing that?
No, I don't. I don't remember many things, Larry. And for most of the things I tried, as far as I know, all of the charges have been dropped. So I don't want to go back and reopen something that perhaps went awry.
Well, I tell you what, I am. There's a lot we can talk about here today. But I'm a big fan of fishing, and you had the 10 benefits of fishing that I found interesting.
Yeah, you know, I wrote that book about a year ago, Larry. So if you think I can remember what I said then, I know it was brilliant, you know. But I'm sure I've moved on. I'm sure a lot of the benefits of fishing are that, you know, you're alone, so you can't get into too much trouble, and the other guy you're with doesn't feel he has to talk to you, which is always a bonus for an older guy. I mean, the bunch of us really, when we get to a certain stage in our life. When we leave the comfort of our home or our vehicle, which sometimes is the same thing, we really just want to be left alone. I mean, sometimes a clerk will come up to you and say, "Can I help you, sir?" And the answer is no. No one can help me, and it doesn't make me feel good to be reminded of that.
Well, you mentioned car. What do you do? What can a person do if their car pulls to the left?
I suggest that you just to take the air out of the tires on the right. You know. I think that works real well. There's a lot of advice there, too, in the book on environmental stuff and going green and so forth, you know, and getting better gas mileage. If you're going downhill, you always get better gas mileage. So if you live in somewhere flat like Saskatchewan, just take all the air out of your front tires, and you know you're going downhill forever. The problem is you have to back home, but that's okay.
Well, I like Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
There every May.
Really?
Yeah, I get there every May, and I actually play in a golf tournament there. It's not a very fancy golf tournament. It's called the Buds Tournament, and it's just a bunch of guys who are friends and get together and play a little golf
at
Lake Waskasoo. You ever been there?
I have not been to Waskasoo. I've been to Saskatoon. I've been to Regina. But never Waskasoo. So you're a golfer, are you, Larry?
Well, I play a little golf, do a little fishing. I try my hand at everything, and nothing very well, but...
Well, you know, golf is kind of the opposite of fishing to me. I mean, fishing is, to me, a calming kind of a sport. You just kind of relax. I mean, golfing is just probably the most frustrating thing. I don't think married men should even play golf. How much frustration do you need in one life, you know?
Red Green, our guest today. Red is the author of his new book. It's called How to Do Everything by the Man Who Should Know. It's published by Doubleday Canada hardcover. And he's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at a new book out there today that Larry Mueller here, my guest Red Green from Possum Lake, Ontario, and he's the author of How to Do Everything by the Man Who Should Know published by Doubleday Canada Hardcover. And it's really great to have him with us today here on the Ideas Network to talk about his book and talk about his tour, too, his Wit and Wisdom tour. We'll get into that as well. And certainly to answer your questions or take comments, give comments to him at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Well, Red, tell us a little bit about your Wit and Wisdom tour.
Well, this is something that I started doing last May, and I'm up in Alaska right now as I'm talking to you. I'm in Fairbanks, Alaska. I've done 28 of these things, and having the time of my life. You know, it's really it's a lot of fun for me, and it's all new. I never did this before, and it's unusual for a man my age to be doing something new that's not a medical procedure. So I'm having a good time. I'll be bringing that to Madison and La Crosse in a couple of weeks. I'm going to Phoenix in between, but it's about a 90-minute show, and I talk about everything, talk about the show and talk about projects and talk about advice, and it's, you know, it's a little bit like the book. I've got some handyman tips in there. There's things that you need to know. For example, never sneeze into a open bowl of coffee creamer near an open flame. That's excellent advice. So that kind of stuff, and we've been playing to sold-out houses, and all of the money's going to public television, so everybody wins on this deal.
Yeah, it really does sound like a good deal. Well, we have some callers online. Let me give you that number again. If you'd like to join us, 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Dennis in Friendship next. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, I want to ask Red if he's going to release any of his old shows on DVD.
Yeah, you can find those at our website. Go to redgreen.com, and you'll see how to buy stuff there. They've released the first 12 seasons, and the remaining four will be coming out next year.
Excellent.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call as well. You missed those. Go ahead, Red.
We can also, if that guy's interested, we can sell him a DVD rewinder if he needs one of those. I have another mention we're working on, double-sided thumbtacks. I'm not sure how they're going to go.
Double-sided thumbtacks. That one isn't in your book, I don't think. I don't remember seeing it anyway.
That's a bonus in there.
All right. Well, we should take some more questions here, because I know Alice in Zion, Illinois has a question. Actually, there's quite a few people with questions for you. Let's go to Alice in Zion, Illinois. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question for Red, which is kind of on a serious side. I would like to know his recommendation for removing thrown egg yolks at windows.
Oh.
On the south side of the home, which gets a lot of heat, because I've been trying two or three things and not much works.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is use bacon for shutters and open up a bed and breakfast.
Well, that might work, but this has been cooked for a while.
I would recommend then the Schick Quattro razor with the four blades. Squirt rapid shave all over there, let her sit for a minute, and then shave both ways, bottom up, top down.
Well, you know, that might actually work.
I think and you end up with a bit of a souffle that you can fry up for lunch.
Okay, well, there you have it, Alice. Thanks for calling.
I think Larry, too, she should be thankful that she didn't have her windows open.
Yeah, that's true. Dick in Cross Plains, on to you now. Hi, Dick.
Hi there. I'm a guy that kind of likes to know where everything is and know that everything is in its place.
Right.
And I've always been impressed by how Western Ontario University is east of Detroit, and yet so much of Ontario's northwest of there. And I'm trying to zero in a little bit on the northwestern Ontario location of the fictional Possum Lodge and Lake. And I was just wondering if he could give us a little more tangible sense of, when he says Northwest, does he mean somewhere down near London or somewhere up near Rainy Lake?
No, you're wrong on all counts. The Possum Lodge is 148 beer stores north of Toronto.
North of Toronto.
Yeah. So, and what I say to people is, you get up in the area and you can't quite find it, just go to any fireman. They go there all the time.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling, Dick. Did you say 138 beer stores?
148. Don't stop 10 short.
Okay.
You got to pace yourself, Larry.
Pat in Milwaukee. Hello.
Yes, hello. Great to have you on, Red, and great show. And I was wondering if you can get your book at any normal bookstore, or do they know better, or what's the deal?
By normal, I think you mean like a Barnes & Normal or a Borders or something like that. Yeah, they got them. You know, they got them. I would phone over first. The bookstores are kind of weird. A big order for them is like four books, you know. So they're always saying, geez, we're sold out. What do you mean? Yeah, we sold the book. But yeah, Barnes and Noble has them, and Borders, and if you can't find them there, you can get them on our website, redgreen.com. But you know what? This sounds bad, but I think it's a funny book. I enjoyed writing it, and I took all the pictures and I drew all the drawings in the darn thing, and I think it's well worth it. I think, like I say, it's a book that, well, we sold a bunch of them already, and mainly we're selling them, and people are buying them as gifts for somebody else. So I don't take it as an insult, but the truth is they're not buying them to own them. They're buying them to give them to some poor sucker.
That's what I was planning on.
There we go.
There you go. But are you going to read it first, though, Pat?
Oh, yeah, I will read it first.
All right. All right. Thanks, Pat. Well, that appeals to the frugal part of you, doesn't it, Red?
Yeah, the frugal part is actually the biggest part of me, because it's a supply and demand thing. There's no supply, so I can't come up with too many demands.
All right. Robert and Banger. Let's see. Oh, hold on a second here. I got to get you on here first. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
Hey, yeah,
I got a question for you. I know Christmas is just around the corner, and then I always have problems with keeping my Christmas tree straight, and then, I have a couple of dogs that like to run around it, and then ornaments always fall off, and I was just wondering if you have any ideas of how to keep that from happening.
Well, as far as keeping the Christmas tree straight, people make the huge mistake of having a Christmas tree standing on some kind of a stand. That's always wrong. What you want to do is hang a Christmas tree. I find gravity is always plumb. You know, and if you eat enough plums, you really feel the force of gravity. But that's a whole other area. So I would say, first of all, you want to hang the Christmas tree from the ceiling rather than hold it up from the floor. And if your house is anything like mine, you better keep her away from the wall, because chances are it'll end up swinging into it. And then secondly, as far as keeping the ornaments on the tree, you know, you have a variety of attaching devices, anything from a stapler to a nail gun to a clothes peg. Obviously, you know where I'm going with this. The handyman's secret tree trimmer duct tape is probably your best answer.
There you have it, Robert. Thanks for calling. Oh, boy. Pam and Shell Lake, let's go to you next. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Mr. Green. I just wanted you to know that I'm raising the next generation of handymen, and my sons, Luke and Noah, they are 7 and 9. They'll be so disappointed that they missed you, and I wondered if you had any advice that I could pass on to them.
Well, the best advice I ever got in my whole life was from Davy Crockett, and he said, if you're sure you're right, go ahead. And at the risk of ruining everyone's marriage, that's been something that's worked well for me. Forget about the committees. Forget about getting everybody in the world's opinion. If you raise a good kid and he thinks things through and he thinks he's right, just tell him just to go ahead, and you can apologize later.
Perfect. I'll let him know he has permission from Red Green.
Yeah, you tell him that.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Jerry in Ridgeland, you're up next. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I just have a couple questions about two characters on your early shows, where they went to or whatever. The first one was the man who had done it all. He was a submarine captain. Mm-hmm. He would stand in for Keith Richards. The Stones would call him if Keith Richards got sick. He was just knew it all.
Yeah.
The second guy was the lazy marina owner.
Yeah.
What about them boys?
Well, first, the first guy, it was Hap Shaughnessy you're talking about. He's the biggest BSer in the history of the world. He claims his mother was smuggled out of Russia in a giant Fabergé egg so she could open a chip wagon and pour asbestos. Yeah, he had a tiger ranch in Kenya, and he just had all kinds of stories. And yeah, you're right, he did. He said he subbed in for the Rolling Stones, and like he's about 80 years old. And we said, well, didn't the age difference make a problem? He said they weren't that much older than me. So I mean, he was just a bizarre human being, and always enjoyed spending time with him, especially when he wasn't there. And the other guy was Glenn Braxton of Braxton's Marina. He had this. He was the laziest darn guy. You know, he had said things like, "Boy, they buy a boat from you, they think they own you." You know, if the phone rang, he would just kick it into the lake. I mean, he was just the laziest guy I'd ever met in my life. But
he was perfect.
All part of our world up there.
Yeah, he. How about he says, "Red, if I just rent you my tools and you fix it yourself." Well, I go on vacation.
You know what? I think we all know guys like that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Thanks, Jerry. Oh, thanks for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Dave of Spooner wonders what was the secret weapon of a handyman before duct tape.
Oh, boy. You know, I would say... I'm not sure there were cable ties back then. Probably binder twine. If we got any farmers out there, they know binder twine was holding a lot of fences up and barn doors on and chickens inside their coops and so on. So I think I would go with binder twine as the answer on the binder twine for 100, Alex.
Yeah, I think you might be right on that, too.
Yeah.
Alan emailed, have you kept track, Red, of how much duct tape you've used over the years?
Oh, my God. Well, I can tell you one thing. Every season, we would start off with a gross of duct tape, 144 rolls of duct tape. And we never got through a season without having to order more. So that's a fair bit. And I'll tell you another thing. When they make duct tape, they make it in a roll 4 feet wide, and then they cut it into whatever width. I think it's a 2-inch width and so on. Anyway, one time we were doing a thing. We were making a hovercraft, and we needed to waterproof the entire hull of the boat. And we thought, well, let's just get the big roll. We got this roll from 3M. It was the 4-foot-wide roll of duct tape. I mean, the guys were, like, salivating just to look at it. Well, when it came to shoot the darn thing, it took 12 guys just to unroll it. There's a reason duct tape only comes in 2 or 3-inch widths.
And you didn't figure that out until it was time to shoot the sequence, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable.
Well, Alan also says you've dismembered K cars on the show. Did you have a traumatizing experience with K cars as a kid?
No, I'll tell you how the K car thing happened. The chief of our crew was a licensed mechanic who had a business, and he had this big yard. And whenever there was an accident, he had a contract that they would bring all the vehicles to his yard, and until the insurance adjuster would come over and take a look at them, decide what to do about the car. And if there was a certain, you know, what they call a write-off, if the damage to the car is more than the car is worth, they write it off. They don't fix it. Well, with a K car, if there's more than $50 damage, that's a write-off. So we would get all of these K cars. That's how we had so many K cars. And the guy could get anything. One day he said to me, he said, you know what, I can get you a city bus. Do you want it? And I'm going, do I want it? Hey, I'm a guy, aren't I? So he brings me a city bus, and we decided to turn it into what we called a cigarette car. Now, you know, a cigarette boat has the real long deck on there,
yeah.
The hood on it. So we did that with the bus. We dropped the roof down on top of over the top of the seats, and that became our hood. And we drove the bus from the back seat. It was the stupidest darn thing, because you couldn't see if anybody was coming until you were halfway through the intersection. Anyway, I got the bus for free, but it took me 3 weeks to shoot the darn thing, and it cost a fortune. And when it was all done, the same guy turned to me and said, I can get you 175 subway cars. I said, you get out of here. True story.
Oh, man. Bill in Marshfield.
Hi, Red. Boy, you know, I'm just wondering when your shows are going to come back on television. It's the only show I ever watched. Is there any chance you might produce another series?
I won't be producing any more shows, but the show is back on in Wisconsin. It's on in the Madison area on, I forget the name of the channel. It's like WISC or something
like
that. Yeah,
Channel 3.
Okay, and then it's on in La Crosse on, I think they call it My Network TV. Or I don't know. I don't get involved with that, but I know we're back on in Wisconsin, and it's one of the reasons that we're bringing the one-man show there because we want to get back and see our fans. It was one of the things in we got so many comments on Facebook from our fans in Wisconsin wanting to get the show back on, so that's why we did that, and that's why we're going back with the live thing.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Bob in Waupaca, on to you. Hi, Bob.
Yes, I just want to let Red know that he's been the inspiration to a Red-Green party that we've held annually every winter in my little workshop, and we've done really crazy things like eat spaghetti with forks, duct tape to drills, and we had an orchestra contest where people needed to make instruments with homemade instruments, and the winning entry was a set of wrenches, duct tape to an old chrome yard croquet set rack that was sounded just incredibly beautiful. We've had a lot of fun having our annual Red Green party.
No, that's great. You know, and people do that all over the place. I'm in Fairbanks, Alaska right now. I was telling Larry, and every summer here they have the Red Green River Regatta, and there's only two rules. Number one, there can be no alcohol involved, and number two, whatever you're floating in can't be a boat. So they just get the most.
Well, we break rule number one. We have some nice Wisconsin microbrews at our place.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I would break rule number one, too, because it helps me think of things. When I was writing the show, I would sit down with a case of beer, and I would just write a script right away and then keep drinking until it was funny.
There you go, Bob. Thank you very much for calling. Oh, man. Jerome in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi.
Hello, Larry and Red.
Yes.
Red, I just got to tell you something that I don't know how long you've been on the show, but I would say 20 years.
Yeah.
And ever since I've been using duct tape, I told everybody or called it Red Green Tape. And they said, what? What's Red Green Tape? And I said, well, that's duct tape. And I think, well, it should be called Red Green Tape instead of duct tape.
I think you're right, and I think I should be getting a piece of that action, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to talk to you, and by the way, as long as you're up in Fairbanks, Alaska, look up Dick Dreyfuss. He'll take you halibut fishing now, and you might learn something.
All right. I'm going to go see a guy today who lives in a DC-3. I mean, I just can't wait. You know, can you imagine what that looks like? And he didn't change. It's still on the, you know, I don't know if you remember a DC-3. They used to stand on a heck of an angle, so he's got this. He lives in this house that's on about a 32-degree angle. I said to him, how do you pour a cup of coffee? You can only put half of it in there.
Yep. And you probably won't have to use any ductwork for your boat.
No, that's right.
Thanks, Jerome. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, you know, in Fairbanks, there's I had a friend who used to work at the Gold Rush Saloon in Fairbanks.
Oh, yeah.
And she enjoyed working there very much. She made quite a bit of money on tips.
Well, I guess in the summer, you know, if you're out there and you say, well, I'll be home when it's dark, honey. You know, you could have a long time at the bar.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, by the way, we might have time for another call or two. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. And, well, now back to your book a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we certainly want to. I was trying to decide if there was any organization to the book, and I was having a little trouble coming up with.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, whatever I thought of. You know? I had an editor, so I would send the things. I'll tell you how the book happened. Was the president of Random House Canada said to me that anything I wanted to write, they would publish, which I thought was great. But they sent me the contract in December of 2008, and everything was fine except for the part about I had to deliver a complete book, like 250 pages, whatever it was, by September 1st of 2009. And I said to him, no, that is completely unacceptable. We got to change that to say, I got to send you 15 pages every 2 weeks. Otherwise, I'm going to be up all night August 31st trying to write a book. You know what we need to push too, Larry? Let's not forget about the dates when I'm going to be there. I think I'm in.
No.
It's like 2 weeks away or next weekend.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming right up. You're going to be on the 20th. You'll be in Madison. You'll be performing at the Barrymore Theater at 8 p.m. And then you're going to, but you're also going to be signing books that afternoon. So before that, from 2 to 4, you're at Barnes & Noble on Mineral Point Road from 2 to 4.
Okay.
And then the show's that evening at 8 at the Barrymore. And then on the 21st, you got a book signing from 2 to 4 that afternoon and a show.
That's in La Crosse?
That's in La Crosse, yeah.
Is the book signing in La Crosse, too? I'm here, I'm asking you. I have no idea.
Yeah, there's a book signing both in Madison and in La Crosse, is what I've got in front of
me. Okay.
So you got a book signing from 2 to 4 in La Crosse.
Okay.
And then a show at 7:30 that evening at the Viterbo University Theater.
Yeah, that, I think all that stuff's on our website, too, redgreen.com, if anybody's looking to go to that. But I haven't been to Wisconsin for a while. I'm looking forward to seeing some old friends over there.
Yeah, a lot of people are looking forward to seeing you. Are you going to do a movie ever?
I did a feature film in 2001.
Yeah, I should have said another movie.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm suggesting if people want another movie, just watch that one backwards. It really, the story doesn't get changed that much.
Red, it's always a pleasure. It's been a long time since we've talked, and I really appreciate you coming back and being with us again, and I really liked your book. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry, and keep your stick on the ice down there.
We will do that. Red Green from Possum Lake, Ontario, is the author of his modestly titled book, How to Do Everything by the Man Who Should Know, published by Doubleday Canada Hardcover. Again, he's in Madison on the 20th of November, and he is in La Crosse on November 21st. So, and I'll bet, I didn't go up to his website to look, but I'll bet all of the particulars about that are up on his Red Green website, and you can find that pretty easily. Red Green, what a guy. Well, coming up tomorrow at 11, Dennis Goodenough of Janesville talks about sustainable building with us. And then at 11:45, Jerry Apps talks about his new book, Cranberry Red. Thanks for listening. Stay with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.